Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden here. Truth Straight Up, brought to you by...
The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, HappyTrees.co, and Denver Cenogenics, and Dr. Julie McCallan. Hey, a lot going on today. We have to, believe it or not, they found more Biden secret documents. As Elon Musk said, is there any conspiracy theory on Twitter that has not been proven to be true? And they knew all about this, of course, before the midterms.
So Carlin knew it before the raid of Mar-a-Lago. So it just, you know, you can trust them. They're honest, good, hardworking public servants, right, doing everything for you or to you.
Trying to take away your gas stove in the meantime.
Yeah, that's got to get out of there. Your AOC says you're being polluted by it.
That's right.
Her brain is mush, and it's all because of the gas stoves.
But before we get to that, I want to bring, we're going to bring on Todd Watkins and then also Sabrina Belize from El Paso County, grassroots folks there, to explain what the heck is going on in El Paso County. So
the El Paso County war continues with the awful and evil establishment doing their awful and evil things.
That's right. So Todd, welcome to the show. Sabrina, welcome to the show. We've got Sabrina on the phone. Well, you there, Todd?
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Julie.
Hey, Todd. Hey.
And Sabrina, can you hear us okay? Maybe not. Oh, okay. Oh, Sabrina dropped out, but we'll bring her back. So Todd, so Vicki Tompkins, we've had on our show many times, is great. She's the chairperson of the El Paso County Republican Party, a position that is voted on by the folks, by people who are members of the El Paso County Republican Party.
And the only African-American chair in all 64 counties.
There you go. And the establishment does not like her. And rather than try to win the election, rather than try to rig the election, they just decided to try to do away with elections all over the place and just take over.
Well, they tried before. I was on the executive committee of the Republican Party when they all came up saying, no, she wasn't validly elected. We've got to overturn it. And I was one of the four or so votes against the establishment, but when it got to the floor of the State Central Committee, Vicki, with the help of Steve Williams, did a great job.
Dave Williams,
overcoming it. But that, you know, so they lost another election, and so now they're unhappy about that, and now they just say, why don't you just appoint us? Why have elections? I mean, you know. These elections are a threat to our democracy.
So husky, right, when the voters vote. So, Todd, why don't you explain what's the latest down there?
Okay, so the El Paso County war is perfect. I'm gonna use that from now on, right? Okay, so first of all, for everybody, your listeners out there, what's happening in El Paso? We're a microcosm of this larger conflagration between grassroots. And I'm actually starting to walk away from the name grassroots because so many of the establishment are starting to grab onto that and say, no, we're the grassroots people.
Yeah. including KBB, whose last statement to everybody is, we grassroots conservatives. You go, yeah, KBB, that's what you are. You sure are.
Yep, we need to. Maybe this is another project for me. I'm going to make a lexicon, an El Paso Republican Party lexicon, and define grassroots and to define conservative, because I'm not going to let them steal any more words from us like they have man and woman and marriage. So
I can give you a start on that task. None of the squishy rhinos that I know are willing to say they're pro-MAGA.
For America First.
Right.
MAGA Republicans, they won't take that one away because they're terrified.
What Julie said, America First, that's kind of what I've been gravitating toward. MAGA kind of has a trademark to it, But America First, I mean, that doesn't have to be copyrighted or a particular
good
brand.
Point.
We are America First. We put the party, or I'm sorry, we put the country before the party.
They'll steal that from you. I mean,
well, let him explain what's going on. Let them explain so what's going on.
Yeah, so there are more America First people active in the party here in El Paso County than there are establishment. And that is largely because of what happened in, 2020, 2021, 2022. So there's a lot more passion and activism in the party. A lot of people, woke up. And right. they realize that voting for the R is not necessarily getting us anywhere, because El Paso County, the local government, local governance has been in the hands of, air quote Republicans for the past 20, 30 years. It's the same people. It's, Wayne Williams, the Bremer, all that sort of stuff. They've had it forever. And your question is, have things gotten better? Things gotten worse, and it's objectively they've gotten worse. So they couldn't stop the influx of participation in caucus and assembly, and there could be a segue there into what they want to do with caucus assembly. So if we go right now, the population of America First, versus whatever they are. Rhino establishment, ruling class, elitists, globalists, whatever.
Human scum. Just say human scum.
They hate it when you say rhino. So
their chances of victory here are pretty slim, at the central committee where all the precinct leaders come in and vote. And they're likely going to lose their grasp on the party, because just because Vicky and Cheryl are the chair and the secretary, they still hold the lion's share of the executive committee, and they also hold all the offices too, the actual public offices like clerk, treasurer, sheriff, coroner, all that stuff, the entire board of commissioners. So their end run, and KBB has certainly telegraph this, that, well, if you bring your case to the state central committee, we could assign someone else to be the Republican Party, the county Republican Party.
I don't
see where that is supported in statute or bylaw, but that's
for ethics,
never stopped them before.
Let me back up just 1 second, Ted, so folks don't know what's happening is, coming up here in the next couple of months, there's going to be all of the counties are going to be voting for new chair people for their county. And then from there, they're going to be vote. Those people then get together and vote for the central committee and the executive committee. And but they're voting for the state.
Let's get this right.
Everybody. But.
You're going to go to your meeting between the 1st and the 15th. You're going to elect. Correct. Your chair, vice chair, and
the counties
and secretary, and you're also going to vote your bonus members, assuming you live in a county that has bonus members,
correct,
off to the state central committee. There's not enough, and then at the state central committee is down in wherever it's going to be, where all the people, all the chairs, vice chairs, secretaries for all 64 counties, plus all the ever diminishing elected officials for Republicans, along with a assorted couple of others, which is about 520 people, more or less. But that's how it works. Now, Julie can't be expected to know that because she's running for vice chair of Adams County. But
but the bottom line, though, the point is that this is determining the leadership of the county and state Republican Party.
Yes.
And the rhinos in El Paso County, and as you say, it's a microcosm of what's going on in other places, know that they can't win because people won't vote for them because people don't want them in leadership positions. So what they've done is an end run, and they want KBB, the current chair, who's has announced she's not going to seek re-election, to basically dissolve the current El Paso County Republican Party and like wave a magic wand and like poof, make them.
No, not exactly. But what they're doing, she said, told them she couldn't technically do that, But she can try to go to the state central committee and have them dissolve.
Well, she could just say we're not going to vote on it. So,
well,
right. Yeah. And all the county central committees, Chuck alluded to this, they must be completed between 1st and 15 February. Then the state central committee is going to be March 11 in Loveland, though I don't know the exact location, but it's going to be in Loveland on the 11th of March. So at that event, KBB has determined that that body, that electorate body of the state central committee, could A, remove a county chair, B, dissolve a county party, and a host of other things. But if they wait until March, the establishment here to do this, it's likely they're not going to get the outcome they desire, because the population of that body, that state body in March, is determined by what the county bodies do. And those county bodies are looking very, very different right now. And I don't believe they're going to get what they want. So they know they're going to lose in February, predicts a loss in March. So they have to get ahead of February.
Right.
They have to monkey wrench February. So they are right now. And Chuck Broerman, if you're listening, you haven't called me yet. they're calling people in the various counties and asking them to support their petition to demand a special central committee meeting be called this month. It's almost the middle. They're running out of time, right? But they're marching forward on this, and if they get 25% of the state central committee to ask for this meeting, then KBB must call the meeting. I believe it is telling, though, that KBB is not calling this meeting. KBB, the GOP chair here in Colorado, could call this meeting if she wanted. She could call a central committee meeting if she saw the need. But she's kind of pulling a Pontius Pilate here and saying, if you, I didn't crucify him, all of you did what you expect me to do. She wants to be forced to call this meeting so she can plead some sort of, at least in, if not
neutrality.
Innocence, at
least just neutral. Well, and here's, just like she was neutral on liberating the Republican primary just for Republicans. She was neutral on that, except every word out of her mouth was denigrating it.
Well, and here's just a concept. Call me crazy, but, you know, what about just accepting, rhinos, the fact that no one wants you in leadership, and either go form your own party, change your ideas, but to go ahead and say, well, what we want to do is try to flex our muscle and use our power to take any county Republican Party that we don't like and just, like I said, just magically wipe it off the map and install ourselves and as new people. I mean, that's just outrageous.
You have to understand, Julia, the reason they don't do that is, as Todd was explaining, they control everything except the party. They can. Who's a congressman? It's their congressman who hates Vicki Tompkins. It's their city council in Colorado Springs. They're all Wayne Williams, and his wife is on the county commissioners, and they can't stand the fact that they're all the muckety mucks, but they can't control the party.
Well, let me, Todd, pause
you
for a second.
After that. Okay. Let me be grateful for that concept.
I want to bring Sabrina in here too for a second.
I mean, that's why they don't give up, because they have all the county offices.
Well, yeah. So, you know, you've heard of the Peak Republicans.
Right? Yes.
That's the Eli Bremer. That's the rhinos.
Yeah, yeah. So that they set up a shadow county party, to support all of their candidates during the primary, and then, you know, between the primary and the general. And what we learned after we examined this for a while and we looked at it, it became to me, in all fairness and disclosure, I'm a newcomer to this. I didn't get involved in local politics till I ran for sheriff this last season. So, but I learned quickly, and my God, what I learned.
Friendly local politics.
They had to set that up. They had to do that in order to create the consultant, campaign manager, donor machine. That machinery, apparently, that's that drives everything. That that peak Republicans, we look just through the different organizations that seem to occupy that space, if you will. Just shy of $1 million went through there for these candidates, you know, who and this is local. This is local politics.
Right.
Local politics. Good God, there's a lot of money in this.
Who were some of the money people?
I'm sorry?
Who were the money people? Who contributed $1 million?
Oh, it was so many different donors. It was a whole bunch. It wasn't, you know, large sums from one person, but it was a whole bunch. I'll have to go back and look at it. And if
it's helpful because, you know, we got a request, and Adam's kind of the same thing's going on, doing a war between the establishment ones with Evan McMullen. And they came out with a petition to try to force a meeting to appoint their people to the absent PCPs, right? Except they didn't have enough votes to do it. They read the wrong clause in the bylaws and totally blew it. But they had their petition, if it is a valid petition. And, you know, one of the things you have to demand is see signatures. You said, no, you just not type it in. We want to see signatures, as we'll find out from our other guest today. But luckily, they listed all of them, right? So all of a sudden, we have a guy who all of a sudden is running to be the chair. And we go down the list. Oh, there he is. So you ought to get that list, because that'll tell you who your enemies are. Really are.
Well, and let me bring that, speaking of the list, right. Sabrina on the phone, because these guys, these rhinos are sneaky. So for people to understand, they're trying to get enough signatures on a petition so they can have KBB can say, okay, I guess we're going to have this election to make the El Paso County Republican Party go away.
Meeting.
So you guys had a meeting explaining this to people, and people were going to then email these guys, these other people, and say, hey, look, we're opposed to that. And Sabrina, I'd like to bring you on. So you decided to do that, right? To go ahead and voice your opposition. And it was somewhat stunning to find out what happened. So Sabrina, first off, are you there? And welcome to the show.
Yes, I am. Thank you. I wanted to write an email the request from Todd and at that meeting, but just to basically, you know, call this peak Republicans and this rhino establishment group here out on the carpet with, you know, where is your legal justification for this? And letting them know who I was made it very clear. I served as a delegate for all three assemblies, and I saw a lot of the antics that they pulled in those assemblies. And I saw, you know, I was coming in it kind of green too, like Todd. That's the first time I've been in local politics as well. So you learn a lot of things really quick, but I learned like, really? Wow, there's really, definitely two forces really, at play here. So, but what within 3 to 5 minutes after me submitting this email, I emailed it to Chuck Broerman and Lois Landgraf and another lady, you know, like a three of them to their email. And within 3 to 5 minutes, I got a response back saying, well, thank you for your support. We appreciate the input. We will add your name to the petition.
I said, okay.
Yeah, so I immediately wrote back in all cap letters. I said, did you even read my email? Number one. Number two, I absolutely do not support your thing, and you do not have my permission to add my name to your petition. So, you know, I tried to respond back, and then I also sent that correspondence to Christy Burton Brown with a letter to her as well, too, an email to her as well, too.
And so I said, when you emailed them to tell them you were totally opposed to that, you got an immediate response back saying, thank you for your support, and now we're going to put your name on this petition that you just told us you're opposed to. Were you able to find out, did they take your name off the petition, or do you have any idea?
No, I've received no correspondence back from any of them, not Christy Burton Brown, not Chuck Broerman, none of them. So I'm guessing that... I wasn't really expecting it back, to be honest with you, but no, I have not received any correspondence from them.
Well, you know, I think it really is important. It's coming up more and more because the ease of emails and so forth, that a petition is something, let's say, to get on the ballot. You don't put emails in there. You put people's signatures, and therefore, unless somebody forges it, you chose that that's the person who wants to vote.
Right.
Well, so their petition... And of course, Brownstein firm will crook it. But is that a petition at all? You know, it's not a petition. Yes. That's just an email list that you're claiming.
Right.
That clearly, right. Obviously, you said, my guess would be, I mean, call me crazy, but or cynical. My guess would be that your name is on that petition because they want to be able to turn around and show, look at all these billions of people who signed this, you know, who gave us their support. It's, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, the change.org thing, right? That there's somebody in India sitting there going, click, 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 click. So, Todd, what do you make of that?
Yeah, well, that's why I went ahead and immediately forwarded an email and talked to Christy Burton Brown to tell her I know what's going on here, you know, and that I do not appreciate this underhanded tactic. And I am one of the grassroots Republicans. And I said, if you proceed with this, and I actually asked for her resignation in my letter as well, too. I said, if you continue to support this. So I said, you know, you will create grievances of many Republicans across the state who do stand on those principles and values of the Republican Party, that you will alienate them and create grievances if you just, I mean, particularly El Paso County, if this is where they're wanting to usurp this and create this organization that does not represent most of the Republican voters in this county. So
let me ask you a question.
Let her know.
It's relevant to this, but one of the Bremers was the head of the bylaws committee, but he assaulted someone and was arrested and resigned. Do you know if that's ever gone to trial?
No, he didn't resign. He did not resign.
Oh, I thought
no, he was. I was a Fed, so the exact state statute here was, and Julie was an attorney. I don't know if you were criminal law, but it was what I would call simple assault. It's a misdemeanor. Okay. Assault. He grabbed a lady by the arm, left some marks. So just, you know, unwanted touching, forcefully trying to direct her movements at an assembly at the one of the HD 20, I think it was. HD 19 when it was in El Paso County. So, yeah, he was charged. They went to trial. I believe it was a bench trial. And he was convicted. So he was censured. But the executive committee in El Paso County doesn't have the requisite two-thirds to remove a member, an office, an elected person. He's a bonus member, but they were not able to remove him. They didn't have two-thirds. He didn't resign, but he sure doesn't come to the meetings anymore.
he's a state treasurer, so I guess he's an appointee of KBB, because that's not an elective office, I don't think.
No, but in El Paso County, he's, you know, he's one of the bonus members. But yeah, you're right. He's the bylaws committee, right?
Yeah.
For the state.
Change those bylaws. Well, you know, why don't they should make the bylaws be like, the bylaws will be whatever we say. And one thing too, I want folks to
understand.
That's
what they do.
Yeah. The reason that this matters so much is the establishment, and they've got a plan afoot. They want to get rid of the caucus system. They want to get rid of the assembly. As you pointed out, Todd, that the grassroots of the America First population, and I think we're going to talk next half hour about what's going on at the Speaker of House, I think demonstrate that is growing, right? People are waking up. They're seeing what's going on, and they want some changes. They want their egg prices to go down. They want their freedoms back, etc. And so the rhinos don't want us to have that, the establishment people. So they're, if they get their people in place, they will work hard to eliminate all of that, to essentially restore the swamp that all the rest of us are trying to get rid of. That's why they want to get rid of Vicky Tompkins, and that's why they want to get rid of the America First people. And again, since they can't do it through voting because no one would vote for them, they just want the other establishment rhinos to just, again, just dissolve it. I mean, that's insanity that you just dissolve a county Republican Party based on the fact that you don't like it, or they don't, you don't agree with them.
Well, they're desperate. They are very desperate. Yeah. Again, you know, and you guys have been doing this a lot longer than I. All I needed to see was the necessity and the utility of peak Republicans, what that actually functioned. And the reason they did that is because they didn't have the GOP office to be their money machine, their money laundering. I call it preaching to the choir or stating the obvious. It's a what we would have called a self-licking ice cream cone. They say we're raising money for candidates, so they get the money to the candidates, and then the candidates use that money to pay the consultants and the and the and the managers who are the party.
Right.
I mean, it's wow. So, but you know, darn it, they didn't have the party to use as their storefront for this.
Well, as a practical matter, we went down to the El Paso County Lincoln Day dinner that Lauren Boebert was at and other luminaries, yes. And they held their own separate one elsewhere.
The KBB went to.
The KBB showed up to.
Yeah, we called the Bremer Beach Bash. They made it some sort of beach theme, and I struggled to find a beach in Colorado, you know, being terribly landlocked. But hey, that's
Boulder,
what they did.
At the Boulder Reservoir, because I went to school up there, and there's a beach there.
Well, Sabrina, what do you make of all of this? You said you were kind of relatively new. You'd been involved, I think, obviously, and you know, you've been politically active, I guess you would say. But when you heard what they were trying to do, and then when you got that email back that said, "We're putting your name,"
congratulations,
we're putting.
Well, appreciate your donation of $1,000. We'll charge your credit card, which you happen to get the number of.
Yeah, I mean, what did you make of all of this?
Well, my first, you know, reaction was pretty angered that they would, you know, take that in the underhanded tactic that they were using. And my first response back to them, too, I said, this is quite unbecoming of true Republicans. So that was that this is not Republican, you know, of the principles we stand on. And, I was also going to bat for Vicky Tompkins because she is a woman of incredible integrity and patriotism. And just perseverance, you know, through a lot of hard battles and things, and she stays in and keeps fighting. And I am so thankful for, you know, for her leadership here in this county. And so I didn't want to, you know, see them drag her good name through the mud and try to, you know, destroy people, which is, you know, the name of their game, I guess, you know. So it's. Yeah. I moved here from Pennsylvania, which was a solidly blue state for centuries, and there was no caucus system in Pennsylvania. But I was really—I'm not even familiar with the caucus system at first when I came out here. But I was realizing, I said, "Man, founding fathers would be proud to see this still intact because it is—you know—they set this constitution up to and government to be of the people, by the people, for the people." And so it's—I thought it was really an honor and a privilege to be able to participate in this. And so to see the you know, just kind of get a front row view of the division here, the, you know, the rhinos and their tactics and their own agendas that they want put through for whatever their reasons are not to the benefit of this state, county, or country. And so I'm sticking in the fight to, like, you know, there, I think it was Carl Jackson this morning on one of the national shows was talking about courageous conservatives, courageous conservatism. And that is what we need right now. We have got to stand up for truth and not be ashamed of it, not be afraid to speak that with boldness. And, you know, we were all cowering in fear under COVID for 2 years. They had to try to condition us with, you know, all that to shut up, sit down, be quiet. But it's when you do that, they will take everything. So it's I think, I was awake a while before, but there are folks, I think, that just need courage to, and courage can be contagious as well as fear. So, I just want to try to spread courage for all the fellow, you know, the American citizen, that this is your nation, your country, this is your home, and you know, you have a responsibility to take part in making sure it's a good place for yourself now and for your children in the future.
It's something that just requires it. Yeah.
Having been involved in lots of fights, when I was younger, they were physical, but otherwise, there is a lot of people without much courage.
Yeah.
You will find yourself pretty alone pretty quickly.
Todd, just because we got to let you guys go, just sort of a final word here is, like, where does this go now? What happens? Or what
have to submit the petition, I assume, if they have the votes.
Okay.
And so again, they need 25% of the state central committee. So what Sabrina said, you know, times 12 for me, right? That was perfect. That was awesome. So Sabrina being added to their petition, not it even whether she agreed to it or not, it doesn't count because Sabrina's not a member of the State Central Committee. So this is
something Matt, 25 people or 25%.
Yeah, yeah, we got a million signatures on that.
Yeah, just get anybody.
Yeah, so clearly we're going to want to see this, you know, the list of supporters and not only verify if they agreed to it, but are they even on the State Central Committee?
Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
That's where it goes. If they, if this falls short, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say. We're doing.
When is your county meeting?
February 11th.
Okay. All right. Well, Todd and Sabrina, thank you for your time.
Thank you for
being courageous.
Well, thank you for having
us. Keep
us posted on the new name. They won't take. Well, we'll take that. Like they took conservative, like they took grassroots. You got to make it something so repugnant to them that they won't put their name to it.
All right. Hey, thank you guys. Thank you for the fight.
How about truth?
There you go. That's perfect.
Thanks, guys. Todd Watkins and Sabrina Belize there. Sandra says, thank you, Todd and Sabrina for the fight. We appreciate it. Well, you know, speaking of fights, I wanted to talk about a couple things. Several things, actually. But, the fight, I think that it's sort of like the Titanic is sort of slowly turning away from the iceberg of destroying the country. I mean, I think
Titanic didn't make it, you know.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's like we're the Titanic's turning away.
Yeah,
that's
the iceberg is coming for us.
No, that's what I'm saying. No. There's hope, more hope.
Not a good analogy.
The Titanic was going to avoid the iceberg, okay, in a different alternative reality.
Yeah, that's right. Not rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
No. What I mean, though, is the tide is turning. Does that help you? Okay, thank you.
I don't know.
But I think the House Speaker fight, to me, is bigger, I think, than we even realize at this point. I think for a number of reasons, because number one, just like Sabrina just said, the people in the Freedom Caucus had the courage to stand up and to keep fighting. And I think a couple of things happened there. What we saw was not only their courage, and hopefully it's because they really believe in it, but we saw the mainstream media, including Sean Hannity, people like that, attack them. But they have way less clout than they used to. Meanwhile, some of these alternative media sites which supported
and
them.
And a few brave ones like Tucker Carlson or the conservative Treehouse.
Have more clout, right?
More clout, yeah.
So, and then, but what we saw, I just can't overemphasize, I think, the astonishing 180 that Sean Hannity, one day he's like beating Lauren Boebert up, won't even let her talk. All of the, you know, it's the clown show, it's chaos, Newt Gingrich, it's awful. Literally, like less than 48 hours later, they're heroes on the show and hooray, we all love you. You guys are brave and courageous. And they embraced it. And I submit the only reason that the mainstream people decided to embrace it is because they saw that the majority of the people embraced it, right? People are indeed waking up. Not only that, but what they've done, but they haven't even been in there a week. What do? So they get rid of the IRS agent. So they vote to get rid of that.
They won't be able to get rid of
it. Well, but let me, that's the second part of it. Just hang on. Let's take the positive stuff first. They vote in the new rules package.
Yeah.
They set up these subcommittees. They've already demanded on the Biden documents, all of the records, right? That's just, you know, some of the stuff that we're hearing about. So they're keeping their promises. And what I think where it's important is, I think you're right. I mean, on one hand, the Senate and the president, I mean, you know, some of this stuff will never get through. But I think a couple of things, what they're doing, though, is they're putting it out there and American people are saying, like, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get rid of my gas stove. I don't want to have the IRS agents. You know, I don't believe for a second that they're just going to go after billionaires. I mean, people see through all of this. And I'm hopeful that, number one, it'll make it. Maybe some people might be show more courage in the Senate. I know that's maybe crazy, but at least it's going to force people to vote, right? I think the Democrats are put in the awkward position of supporting more IRS agents, right? Of supporting covering up the Joe Biden documents after they made such a big deal about the Donald Trump. I mean, it just continues to expose the fraud and the corruption,
well,
I think.
Well, Stephen asks, after Republicans voted for the $1.7 trillion omnibus farce last month, I don't know what GOP stands for anymore. Well, the GOP is standard for nothing for most of its existence, except when it was formed and it was anti-slavery, and that it stood for. After that, in theory anyway, it believed in smaller government. It believed the Constitution was not an ancient old document. It believed in individual rights and individual responsibilities and all that. But you have to understand, I mean, in the Senate, you had 18 Republicans voting for that monstrosity. That's almost 50% of them. In the House, there were 8 or 9. So most of the Republican Party are stand for nothing. And you must understand, vast majority of people who get into politics and are the ones ambitious enough to make state and national ones believe in nothing. They've wanted to be in politics. So
they believe in power, personal power and money.
Well, they want to be in politics. So they will do whatever it takes to be it. So if you're in Denver, you can't run as a Republican. So the Republicans I knew ran as Democrats. In other places around Colorado, you can't get elected a Democrat. So Democrats run as Republicans. The only problem, particularly in Colorado, is the Democrats know that. So they pour all the money. And Mike Lynch, the new minority leader, right. all the Republicans in the House voted for the Democratic speaker. I mean, it's just, you know, most
not all
politicians,
of it, most many of them. Why would you do that?
Politicians just know they're not sitting there. I believe in, well, you know, Christy Burton Brown said she was since 16 years old a believer in life and fought forever for the personhood amendment and did everything else. When it comes along and you have a candidate who says he wants Roe v. Ray, she's ecstatic. It's one of the most finest people ever.
And then
a week after the election, she says, I just want to let you know that we are pro-life, period.
Except in the brief period of time when you have a candidate.
Yeah. I mean, most of the people you talk to in Congress are frauds.
But
the Senate, they're frauds.
And I think, though, but what gives me hope about, and that's why I think the House vote is a bigger deal. I think the main reason I think it was successful was because it had the backing of the people. I mean, the majority of the people, I think, who were at least paying attention, support. I mean, who would be in favor of more IRS agents, right? Who would be in favor of you
18
know,
Republicans
continuing?
In the Senate,
well, I know, but
Senators.
I mean, no, people,
oh, they're not
right? Humans. Yeah, no, citizens, I guess, us, the people. You know, we the people, those people, not okay. The politician people. Chuck, I'm gonna just mute you today. I'm gonna just mute you, and I think that. The people waking up, and you got to believe, at least I have to believe, that that'll have some impact, right?
Here's another thing. Point. There are some people who do have beliefs, and they ran on those beliefs and so forth. And you saw a few of them were in the Republican House. Chip Roy, Lauren Boebert,
right?
Matt Gaetz, and some others. And you saw the other side, which is McCartney. McCartney's now all for the platform, and he'll be all against it if the winds swing the other way. So you can't trust him as far as you can throw him. But at least you found some Republicans from the Freedom Caucus, and it's really on half the Freedom Caucus. You know, Ken Buck was there with all of the Rhino's establishment people telling us we have the gold standard for elections. But at least it turned out Chip Roy.
He took Democrats on the committee. So, and then in the meantime, I mean, I'll give them credit. Number one, they've already set a date for the weaponization of the government
and the government agencies
hearings. And they've got to, I think, January 18th. So that's just a week or so. Yeah, a week to sort of reply. So we'll see. Now, what I hope they do is they subpoena the people who won't come in and let's see what happens. Well, I know. But then the other thing, though, I think that's good is they jumped right on the Joe Biden documents. You know, I mean, if you haven't been paying attention. So remember when right before the election, Merrick Garland appointed a special prosecutor. Chuck is getting angry. Appointed a special prosecutor to look into the Donald Trump documents that were found during the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago. Well, it turns out that all along he knew that the Biden allies had found secret, top secret classified documents that Biden had in a closet.
In Washington, D.C. at the Biden Think Tank Center.
Funded by the Chinese.
Well, funded. $54 million went to Penn. All of a sudden, they don't do anything. And all of a sudden, they're paying Joe Biden $1 million a year to be a quote-unquote professor who doesn't teach us anything. They are, the University of Pennsylvania ought to be indicted for bribery.
What did they do with the other $53 million?
They kept it for themselves, 10% to the big guy.
Yeah. So, but already, though, the Republicans have said, okay, we want to see, you know, we've asked for oral correspondence. I mean, the old Republicans, I think, would have just said, well, we need to let the, you know, the investigation play out, right? So I'm wondering at least, I mean, they do seem to be showing some courage. And you got to wonder now, here's, let's talk a little bit about the Biden thing, because here's a question I have. I mean, the Biden documents, I think is going to be interesting. And the corruption and the Merrick Garland corruption, and this is astonishing. Particularly now that it's coming out that they found a second tranche of documents. And remember with Donald Trump, they were leaking all over the place what they were. Here now, no one knows. But you got to ask yourself, why now? I mean, nobody knew about it. It was keeping quiet. And I wonder if there is a faction in, because the media is totally controlled, right? If the CBS people said, hey, we got some questions about these Joe Biden documents and the Biden, and they say,
not how it works.
No, that's what I'm saying. And nobody's leaking it. So it's being reported because somebody in the Democrat Party wants it reported. That's what
I
believe.
Yes, and somebody in the Justice Department.
And I got to wonder if that's because somebody in the Democrat Party, you know, we've been hearing a lot about Joe Biden gearing up to run for re-election in 2024.
It doesn't look like he's too senile to realize that he shouldn't want to run again. And so they're going, my God, he'll do it. He'll actually run. So unless they're making a pleasant run.
And, you know, I get to say, Mark Poff, if you're listening, he had sent me an email and I almost responded, but I didn't have time before the show. It's like, I absolutely agree. He suggested this. And I'm like, I agree. I got to wonder if somebody in the Democrat Party is starting to undermine.
It's not in the Democratic Party. Well, somebody in the Justice Department who has outside.
Well, the people.
Yeah, the lawfare people are going, no.
Right. That's a good point. Not the Democrat Party. Because I think the Democrat Party is controlled by the.
Who's the head of the Democratic Party?
George Soros?
I don't even know anymore right now. I've forgotten who the head of the Democratic Party is. I mean, who's the head of the Democratic Party in Colorado? I don't know.
Well, Morgan,
have you ever mentioned Carol, was it many years ago?
No, she was. I think she quit. So I don't think. Well, you're right. It doesn't matter because
they don't care.
The FBI and the CIA are the head of the Democrat Party. But it is interesting, though, why this is coming out. But I also think, you know, the Democrats and the Department of Justice are so duplicitous and corrupt that I, on one hand, I think they would have no trouble saying, because you see all the corporate media people saying, oh, it's totally different. Donald Trump is
apples
totally different.
And oranges.
But even they are forced to say, but still, this does look bad.
It's a little awkward.
Look, it's a little awkward
it,
that
it
we,
happens, but
that we raid one. And plus, Donald Trump did have the ability to declassify it. Joe Biden didn't. They have to kind of like the.
But see, haven't you cooperated with him? That's whole difference. See, when his administration investigates him, he's very cooperative. Wait till he has another administration investigates him. We'll see how cooperative he is.
See if they subpoena him, right? Yeah. Forget it's, you know, like they did Steve Bannon and people like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What happens to those people if they ignore a subpoena? So I think it's just interesting. And I have to say it's hilarious, right? Personally, and I could be obviously totally wrong on this, I don't think either Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Now, granted, we're hearing some weird stuff about Ukraine and China, but I got a feeling that after all these years, these are just boxes that got stuck in a closet somewhere, right? Or storage thing. In other words, I don't think Joe Biden is actively doing something with whatever the secret documents are.
Well, Joe Biden has the hot, you know, even after you're but Donald Trump has access to all the records, having the highest clearance there is to all the documents that he could want. In Washington. So, you know, when they took him along, he was going to hide this one. I mean, no, it's all BS, but that's, you know, that's the justice.
Well, that's it. Yeah, Jacob, that's what we're talking about. The feds found another set. Actually, the feds didn't really find it. As I understand it, Biden's people are kind of like, oh, I found it. I mean, and they found that a while ago too, by the way. They didn't just find it like this morning. They found that a while ago too, a second batch of Biden classified documents. I think that the biggest thing of that, I don't think either president has threatened national security by having this stuff stored in a closet. Biden has. Well, Tucker Carlson had an interesting, when he did the connection between a lot of the documents apparently, or at least reportedly, have to deal with Ukraine. And why are they at the University of Pennsylvania, which is being funded by China? I mean, there are some questions there. On the other hand, though, to me, the best part is that you have to turn around and say, so why did Merrick Garland appoint a special prosecutor before the election to investigate Trump when he knew and had known for at least a couple of weeks that they had found a bunch of these same situation, only this time it pertained to Biden, and they kept it quiet, right? I mean, that's...
He's the attorney general of our wonderful country, so... Don't, you know, Merrick Garland was almost on the Supreme Court. That's how wonderful he is.
No, that's right. That's the other difference.
Yes.
Donald Trump blocked him from being on the Supreme Court. Well, I don't know. I think the question is, and sometimes, I mean, they're not getting a ton of cover on this. They're getting some cover, but the other, the main networks are reporting on this. And again, the stuff I was reading was saying, they're totally different. Donald Trump should be behind bars and in jail. And Joe Biden, this wasn't even remotely his fault, and it's not even a problem. And but
no one questioned Joe Biden's probity. I mean, God, he's stolen from every country in the world. I mean,
so what difference these documents make? But you got to wonder, are they corrupt enough to just ignore it? I mean, that's the only thing that worries me. The Democrats anymore, they're like, so what? Right? We don't care. It's like, so what are you going to do about it? What do you think?
I have no idea what, because the Justice Department is run by such wackos, and they're all over in the Brookings Institute and their little lawfare wing, dreaming up things and calling up, every corrupt lawyer in the country to figure out what to do next.
That's right. Well, and here from Jacob, this is what I was saying. It's something that the announcement of these found documents is after Biden teasing running for a second term. Exactly.
Yes,
so,
yes.
And then Stephen, why did it take 2 months to let the public know they found Obama's document?
Huh.
Who's providing funding for the College Center where Biden's documents are found? China. Yeah, apparently a ton
$54 million.
Well, okay.
Anonymous.
Technically,
anonymous.
Well, I think it's been traced to a guy who's tied to the Chinese Republican guy. It's a
last time I read it, it was anonymous contributions.
Yeah, they had a name. I was reading something that was a name.
Okay.
That was a name. So it wasn't China directly.
Oh, okay. He just personally loves the Bidens.
But on another thing, Ted Cruz.
And University of Pennsylvania, because he wants it was in Shanghai.
It is kind of fun, though, to watch. I don't know how you guys feel, but I do. Because, I mean, Ted Cruz had a great tweet. He's like, it's only Wednesday. And we've already got, they're investigating Biden for these documents. They've got rid of the IRS. Well, they're getting rid. I mean,
they're trying to get rid of it.
Well, but I mean, the Republicans are kind of looking good. The Democrats are looking worse and worse.
Yes,
and you mentioned this, and now... And you kind of wonder, where does this come from? So some goofball floats the idea that get rid of gas stoves. And all of a sudden, every left-wing nut job is coming out saying, oh, yeah, did you meet some guy who's on? People have been cooking with gas stoves for a while. He's like, it's like having a car idling in your kitchen.
It's absolutely.
Like, it's not. Hey, Jacob, go ahead. I see you raising your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm joining you late. But I think, what do you guys think about this this vote that's coming up to change it from the tax code, get rid of the tax code and go to consumption.
Oh, Tabor?
No, not Tabor.
The
sales tax.
Government.
It's based on the European system. Europeans do not have income tax, generally speaking,
right.
Value added taxes, and they have a great deal less collection. I think it's a great idea.
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to pass, but I'll tell
won't.
You something.
Oh, are you kidding?
There are 30 senators in the Democratic Party up for re-election in 2024.
Yeah.
Well, they don't care.
We'll see. You're going to go around and say you're going to stop people from having to pay taxes. Think of the
paper, you wouldn't pay anything less than taxes. Rest assured that value added taxes add as much to the coffers as income tax.
I agree. And I think what they could do for the poor people is, they'll still fill out a W-4 or a W-2 at the end of the year. They say, well, I only made this much and I paid all this in tax. They'll get a rebate or a refund or something. That can happen.
Yeah.
But if I'm a senator and I've voted down and come 2 years.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Again, I think the mood in the country is shifting.
So. That's worse than Bennett having to explain that he spent all that.
All right. Hey, Jacob, you're breaking up there. Hey, thank you.
Especially with the. Go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say, hey, you're starting to break up a little bit, so thank you for that. And we've only got a couple minutes left here.
Thanks, Jacob.
Yeah, well, kind of like the gassing. I mean, they're shooting, the Biden administration is shooting the gassing down. It's like that came out of nowhere, blew up suddenly. And now,
but it's like the aviation agency. Southwest Airlines is going to pay, says Buttigieg. Then everybody goes, oh, they're going to pay. I'm off on maternity leave again.
FAA shuts down everything. It's like, that's an issue. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that hasn't happened since 9/11. No one cares. No one just had nothing to see here. Daryl Issa, I just saw this. He's proposing the gas act, Guard America's Stovetops.
All right.
It's kind of like the Green New Deal, right? We're all going to die from the ocean overriding us. And of course, that hasn't happened yet. It's like gas stoves. It's like a car idling in your kitchen. It's like, no, it's not. Gas stoves are not. I don't know if there's a reason they want to get rid of that, or if they just want to get rid of it because people use it and they hate people.
Well,
Jacob
says even Canada's had aviation problems today. What? Peter Buttigieg is now over in the Canadian side too. He's expanded out and destroyed them too.
It's not a cyber hack. It was just, we don't know really what it is. If you don't know what it is, how can you tell what it isn't? Not just me. Hey, listen, that's going to do it for us on this Wednesday. I want to thank everybody, Todd and Sabrina and the great folks fighting in El Paso County.
They did a great job.
Thank you, everybody on Zoom. Remember, you can catch all of our shows, all of the shows, and links to everything, whether you want to listen with audio or want to see the video too, on Rumble, et cetera, all at chuckandjulie.com.
And we'll have the fabulous David Horowitz on Wednesday.
Nope, he's on Monday. Today is Wednesday. Yep, David Horowitz is coming on. Not sure we're going to have on Party Friday, but we'll do something.
We'll figure something out.
Everybody have a great couple of days. We'll see you then.
Take care.